October 12th.
That's...
So the National Day of Prayer this year is in the north of England. It's on October the 12th, and it's in St. Helens. If you'd like to go, I know it's a long way ahead, but the transport is being arranged now, so if you'd like to be go on the transport, contact Ian Peacock. October 12th, National Day of Prayer in St. Helens, at a stadium, I believe. A rugby stadium.
Rugby league, as Eddie Waring used to say, the number under.
You're all too young to remember, I'm sorry. It's just a rugby league commentator from many years ago. Okay, so testimony time. Has anybody else got testimony to share with us? That's it, you got it, right? Eddie Waring. It just shows you how good that impression was, doesn't it? Anybody got a testimony to share with us? Not an impression. Yes, Dave. And you as well, Rosa. Start with Dave. His hand was just slightly before yours.
I don't know if it's really a testimony, but I work with a guy. He's a blues harmonica player, and he's kind of a wild man. And when I work with him, he's always like, "What are you doing tomorrow?" "Oh, I'm going to church." And he kind of busts my chops a little bit. But he called me the other day on the phone, and he went to Ireland, and I don't quite know what he was doing over there, but I think it was like a spiritualist type thing. But he just started asking me about Jesus and Christianity. And it's just amazing. I just was thinking just how God works in people's lives, because I played with him last night, and he just mentioned, like, he did a really good job at this show, and I was like, "Good job, Luke." And he was like, "Yeah, well, God gives us all different gifts." And it was, it just kind of blows me away that how he could work with different people. And because I never thought that he would be a guy that, you know, kind of, I don't know, we're all looking for something. And that's what I told him. I was like, you know, well, I found it in Jesus Christ. And, you know, and I don't want to scare him, you know, by, like, preaching to him too much and different things. And I'm not that good at that anyway. But it's just amazing how God can work in people's lives. And it's a good thing. So if you guys want to pray for him, his name's Luke. And he's definitely searching. And hopefully he'll find, you know.
So, Lord, will you just pray for Luke? We ask that you'll keep working in his life. We ask that you'll give the spirit of wisdom and revelation to him, that he may learn to see you, the great King, Jesus, the great revealer. Reveal yourself to him, Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name. Thank you for Dave's testimony to him, just by being there. Thank you for Dave's testimony. Amen. Rosa.
I gave this testimony when the ladies had a Saturday morning thing, but it's so important to me that I want to share it again. It's God having been interested in the little things in our lives. And I think it started around Christmas time when I couldn't sleep. I couldn't go to sleep. And I'd be awake till 2 or 3 in the morning and have to go downstairs and read. Very often read my Bible or whatever. And I really did get pretty desperate. And one night I wrote a poem. I've not brought it with me because I'd forgotten it was testimony of day. And it was on sleep and how elusive sleep is and how marvellous it is when you get it. It's a wonderful gift. And I described it as the blessed gift of God, blessed gift that you can have. In the poem, the last two lines, I really said, "Lord, will you teach us the stillness, the quiet, to receive this blessed gift of sleep?" And I don't know whether it was the same night or later, but I was reading the scriptures and I got the storm at sea. And in the version that I was reading from, Jesus didn't say quiet of the storm. He said, "Peace, be still." And I really felt that God was saying to me, I'm giving you those words. They were his words. She's giving them to me to use. And I did try it. And all the conversations that were going on in my head, you know, kind of, no, I wasn't mithered when I went to bed. I was just churning over what I'd done during the day, or something interesting, or a story I'd read. I think John last week said that Martin Lloyd-Jones had said that our minds are like a stage in which we're the actors and we're the producers and we're the directors, because there's this conversation going on all the time. So, yes, I spoke to my mind as soon as it started and I said, peace, be still. And yes, it worked. And this has gone on for weeks and weeks and weeks now, and I find myself in bed and my mind's going again, and I tell it, peace, be still. Now sometimes it won't, and I do it again, peace, be still. And then sometimes I even have to say, Jesus, that your word will you say it. And he does, and I am sleeping, and that is absolutely amazing. And I'm so grateful, so thankful to him, and it just shows that he's interested in the everyday things in our lives.
Great, isn't it? Whoa. Any others? James?
I was reminded when Dave just gave that testimony then that sometimes when you're rubbing shoulders with people quite a lot, the same people, like in a band, or my testimony is about a colleague at work, you forget really that God's probably placed you there for them. And I've been working with the same guy now at work for about 5 or 6 months, working on engineering tasks together. And this particular guy, when I first met him, typical lad, does the typical lad stuff. But during conversations, him knowing that I'm a Christian, we've had some interesting conversations about evolutionism and aliens and UFOs and conspiracies and stuff like that. And it's been great because I've realised he's a very, very deep thinker of stuff. And during the conversations, I've mentioned about prophecy and what it says of the future. And he's actually gone away and read some of Revelation on his iPhone at home. He said he would, and he did. And I think it's opened him up to something that he would never have, you know, thought about before. And it's a small thing, like I say, but really it's probably a big thing for him, and it's like a big step for him to have gone away and read that. And it's not like he's read it and come to conclusions in his own mind and you know, cast it all out and said, oh, it's rubbish. Because when we were talking about evolution again, I said, so what's your belief on evolution? And he says, oh, well, I think it's rubbish. And I said, why? And basically, to put in a nutshell what he said, there has to be some intelligent design behind it all. So just pray for him. His name's Phil. And just pray that that intelligent design, he sees it as God and not something else, because he's got all sorts of ideas in his head. And if God can filter out those ideas and shine the light on him and direct him into the truth. Amen.
Yes, Joyce.
I just want to say how much I have experienced the faithfulness of God in my life. I can remember we were talking about eyes in our Bible study this week, and it reminded me of a time when we were having problems. Ted was ill, and I had problems with a development in Bromborough, and I just didn't know where to turn. And so I just looked to the Lord for help. And one day I was reading a psalm, and it said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And I thought, Lord, I've read that dozens of times before. So I put my Bible down and just had a walk down the garden. When I got to the bottom of the garden, I just stood, because it was a beautiful day. And I suddenly felt as though there was a hand on my shoulder that said, I will never take my eyes off you. And I was so thankful that day, because I was able to see Romba through, and God really helped in every way. And even through the difficulties of life, we can always trust him, because he is faithful.
That's beautiful. Joe. As a lot of you will know, I play golf at Prestwich Golf Club very badly. But a couple of years ago, Matthew and I decided we'd join in the competitions on Saturday mornings. And afterwards, we used to go in the clubhouse, and or still do, and have a drink and something to eat. And it being a male-dominated game, the language in the clubhouse was appalling. But over the course of the last 2 years, I've played with various people on the course, and each one of them, I've told I'm a Christian and I go to church. And gradually, people's attitudes are changing. People who know me now don't swear in front of me. Yesterday, Matthew and I were joined by the captain of the club. He played with us. And when we got back to the clubhouse, we sat at his table. Various people came over to sit with him, or were invited over. And he said to each and every one of them, no swearing, Joe's here. And as we went round the course yesterday, being the captain of the club, he saw various people saying hello to them and everything. And to each group, he said, I don't want to hear any swearing, Joe's with us. So people's attitudes are changing. It's through God. Oh, I'm known as Nice Joe at the club.
Nice Joe.
That's wonderful, isn't it? That's being salt, isn't it? Salt, Sermon on the Mount. It's not very big. Oh, yeah, no, big ones, sorry.
This week I had a phone call from a lad called David, who's been on the mission to Ukraine with me twice now. And his fiancée is Ukrainian, and she's also my friend. And she was coming over yesterday to stay with him for a week. They're getting married next May, and she's coming over for a week because they're having some marriage guidance from his church. And also they're pursuing the visa for her to come and live in this country as from next May. And because she's Eastern European, and it seems to be if you're Eastern European or South American, you get a real big grueling when you come through passport control. And she was getting a little bit anxious, and she said to David, I'm going to email Sandra and ask her if she'll pray. And you know, all his family were praying for her, and all her friends in Ukraine were praying for her, because she said, I want to tell the truth. Now, if she did tell the truth, if she said, I'm coming over to see my fiance, then alarm bells would ring with them, and they think she was one of these girls who's just coming over, and she just wants a ticket to live in this country, you know, by marrying a British person. So she knew that she couldn't say, I'm coming over to stay with my fiancé. But she also wanted to honour the Lord and tell the truth. So we prayed for her, and we kept saying to her, just tell the truth, just tell the truth. So she came through Heathrow yesterday, and she told the truth. And they just said, off you go, and let her through. Now, she didn't say, you know, I'm coming to see my fiancé. She said, I'm coming to stay with the Cathcart family, which is the truth. And they just said, okay, off you go. And she came through. Telling the truth.
Yeah, great. Truth and light.
When I was 13, I was looking in the mirror, my mum's dressing table mirror, and basically I had my first experience of God. And basically he said, my big question was, what's life all about? and the answer that I got was look for Jesus, seek Jesus. So I started to seek Jesus, but I didn't know quite what that meant really, how I should do it. But I desperately wanted to find Jesus. And I don't know how long after it was when I had this mirror experience, but I was in a bookshop or something, and my attention was drawn to a book. I thought, oh, I'll just have a look at that. And it was By Searching by Isabel Kuhn. And I read that book, and that, you know, the gospel was in it. And so that was a big help in me becoming a Christian. I'm just saying this because God, if you really are seeking God, he will always put things or people in your path if you're genuinely seeking him. Anyway, so there's that experience. And later on, when I was going through a really difficult time after a relative had died, I was grieving deeply, and there was nothing really helping me. Well, there were lots of things helping me through it, but I needed something to help me to get through. And me and Ray were at Botany Bay, again, bookstall stroke CDs rack. Anyway, I think actually Ray found this CD by Kevin Prosh, Kiss the Sun. And he said, oh, he's good, isn't he, Kevin Prosh? So he gave it to me. And I thought, oh, yeah, his songs are really good. So I took it home. And most of the CD really spoke to my heart and helped me get through a very difficult time in my life. So God threw me a book, and he threw me a CD. And then, what's the next one? I had to write it down because you know my memory is rubbish. Of late, I've been really wanting to spend time with God like Mary did. And I determined a few months ago that on a Monday I would try and spend time with God on my own. So that Monday morning I did really well. I read my Bible for 10 minutes and then suddenly, you're trying to get with God and it doesn't happen. And I thought, oh Lord, I'm trying to spend time with you. Help me, please, you know, because I just run out of steam after 10 minutes, which is ridiculous. Anyway, my eyes again looked around and there was this book. And we'd moved house, we had boxes everywhere. All the books we possessed were in boxes apart from three books. And they were just on the side. So I just looked over without thinking. And the one on the top was Experiencing God Through Prayer by Madame Guyon. And I just said, oh, thank God. And then I cried. Because I thought, you want me to find you. You always put things in my path to help me seek you and get close to you. And I just couldn't believe it. And the book was amazing. I'm still trying to work my way through how she's encouraging me to go in spending time with God. But I knew God had put that there for me. And then just to confirm it the other day at university, okay, we've got books on the shelves, but some guy was just using the concourse at Allerton to sell some of his second-hand books. And I thought, oh, I'll just pop down, you know, mooch, mooch, mooch. Suddenly I saw a book, and the title was Cloud of Unknowing. And I thought, oh, I'm sure that's important, that book. And I picked it up. I thought, I'm sure it's one of these, you know, meditative type books. I'm sure John's mentioned it in one or two of his sermons. And I thought, I'll have to have that. So it's just, God just wants to meet with me, and he's helping me by chucking things in my direction. So if you're seeking God, or you want to seek God, and you're struggling, keep going, because he will bring things into your path, and people, or it might not be books or CDs, it might be people, it might be just something you hear on the telly. If you just sit and read your Bible, obviously that's a good way, but sometimes we need encouragement, and God knows how we tick as individuals. So don't give up if you're seeking God, and if you're not seeking God, you should be, because it's great.
Very good. Excellent. Have you got one as well? Yeah? Maybe.
Hi, this is just one about keeping your eyes on the Lord, really, because a couple of weeks ago I went to Parents' Evening, and the news wasn't great, really. Curtis was doing well and progressing, but he was still a long way behind some of his peers. And so I started to fret a bit. I'm not really a worrier, but I was starting to fret, thinking, oh, he's going up to the juniors in September, and how's he going to cope emotionally if he's so behind everybody else and so forth. So I started to have a little bit of a panic about it. And then I just felt the Lord say, stop fretting and look to me. And I kind of felt I had a bit of a wrist slap, really, because I'd just been having a little going round in my head, you know, what could we do and everything. And so I just asked the Lord to take care of it, really. And it's just been amazing. The last 3 weeks, probably the best 3 weeks that I've had with Curtis since he came. Just, he's been so calm, so peaceful, just so content. And I had all these reports coming back from school saying he's doing fantastically well these last few weeks. He's just coming on. He's just progressing all the time. And I just thought it was the Lord saying, I've got my hand on him. You know, just you let go and let me do it. But it was just stop fretting and look to me. So.
Brilliant. Is that Psalm 37? Fret not yourself. Authorization.
Just this morning I was thinking, I knew it was testimony morning, so I was thinking about if I had anything to say. And an old Amy Grant song kept popping in my head, and the line, I'm caught in between the now and the not yet. And it just reminded me that over well over a year ago, I was sort of going on and on about homeschooling and boring everybody and asking anyone if they want to do it. And I went to a Captivated conference down at Lighthouse Church, and clearly I felt God say not yet about that, because Geordie was dead against it, said it was for extremists and hippies. And you know, sometimes you know when you're sort of fighting against something that it's not right. So I let it go and I just carried on. But then at Christmas time this year, the desire came back really strongly again, and I was a bit confused. So I just, at New Year's Eve, I like to sort of look back on the year and kind of present, you know, talk to God about what things have happened and things. So I wrote down in my journal that these things are on my mind again, about my children and the desire to school and at home and things like that, and that was it. And then Daniel's glandular fever is a separate testimony, which I don't think I can tell from the moment. On New Year's Eve, Daniel started with this lump on his neck, and that led to him being in hospital, and I kept the other two children off because school started again, but I kept them off because Daniel wasn't well and we didn't know what it was, so I didn't know if it was contagious for other children. And I was laying in the hospital bed next to Daniel, and you can't really sleep in those beds at all. Really, yeah. And I couldn't sleep anyway because I was watching him. But God just clearly said to me, it is the right thing to do. And that was all, just it's the right thing to do. And then I fell asleep, and when I woke in the morning, I thought that the phrase, it is the right thing to do, came again. So I thought, right, now I've got to tell Geordie, because he doesn't think it's the right thing to do. So I went home, and I thought I would just say what God said. I won't add any of my arguments or anything else. And I just said, Geordie, I really think it is the right thing to do. And he just went, okay. And usually, he never says okay, he always says, let me sleep on it, or let me think about it. But he just said, okay. So I just want to encourage you that sometimes God says, not yet. And sometimes, you know, he tells you when's the right time. And just keep listening to him and following, you know, when you know it's his voice, you know it's his voice. And then just want to encourage that.
Great. They're all different, aren't they, these testimonies, but they're all fantastic.